series, we are drawing inspiration and some valuable lessons from a beautiful narrative film called The Way, starring Martin Sheen and directed by his son, Emilio Estevez. I know a few of you have seen that movie already, and those who have not are invited to join me today after our coffee time to watch the movie in our lounge, and there'll be some soup to help sustain us as we watch the movie together. And whether you're watching it here today or have already seen it, you're invited at 2:15 to join us for conversation about it as we talk about how much the movie might mean and relate to us. But for those who have not seen it yet, it's the story of a father who is grieving the loss of his son, who decided to go on the great pilgrimage on the El Camino through France and Spain. But early on in his pilgrimage, he got lost in a storm and was killed. The father, Tom, decides to walk the Camino in honor of his son, Daniel. And as he walks that great pilgrimage, he makes many discoveries along the way, including some new friends who are walking the trail with him. In one scene, after a day of walking, the pilgrims are at the table, eating and resting, and they start arguing over which guidebook is better, which is more accurate, more helpful, and why they have the particular slant or perspective they have. And someone says, well, you know, the Danish ones are just looking for the next party. And the American one always has some opinion about everything. You can tell it's an older movie because they are using guidebooks and not their phones and the internet. When you travel, do you tend to follow a carefully laid out plan? Do you study the travel guides, online or otherwise, and plot your trip methodically? Or do you simply go with the flow? Or maybe you let others do the careful planning for you, a tour company or a traveling companion, and you go along for the ride. What guidebook or guidebooks, metaphorically, do you follow in your journey of life? It might not be a literal book, it might be, or a group of books. What values do we have in our lives that draw us to our decisions along the way? Are we following what we believe in, or are there other influences that take us astray, that lead us to wander off the path? At another point in the movie, a man picks up a tablecloth as a bullfighting cape and says, I wanted to be a bullfighter. My father wanted me to be a lawyer. It's true of all the pilgrims. Yost's wife wants him to be skinnier. I know something about that. Jack's editor, he's a writer, his editor wants him to write travelogues. That's why he's on the pilgrimage. But Jack wants to write a novel. And it was true of Tom, the main character, and his son Daniel. Tom didn't agree with how Daniel was living his life. And he didn't understand why he was going on this crazy pilgrimage instead of settling down and finding a good job. Have any of us had parents like that? Have any of us been parents like that? As the pilgrims in the movie share deeply with each other, they become more compassionate about the roads they are each traveling. Jesus, in our reading today, has been traveling through Galilee. He's been casting out demons, preaching in synagogues, healing the blind and the lame, stilling storms, dining with opponents and outcasts, teaching in parables and metaphor. He's been going about his work. And in our particular reading today, we hear the Pharisees, who are a particularly religious group, they come and they warn Jesus that King Herod was after him and he should get away. But Jesus is not on a journey to get away from it all. He is on a journey to get into it, specifically into the midst of Jerusalem, into the heart of the people of God, even if he might be destroyed by doing so. One intriguing aspect of this episode is the question about the Pharisees' motives. Is their warning friendly or hostile? We know that Jesus debated the Pharisees and denounced them sometimes, but he also respected and appreciated them at times. And they warn Jesus about Herod. Jesus probably does not need to be warned. He already knows that Herod is a fox, a sneaky predator. But their act of protection is an act of allyship. The Pharisees loved the city at the center of their world as much as Jesus did. And they hated what the Roman Empire had done to it. As we travel our road of life, sometimes we are blessed with friends who may be very different from us, but actually aren't so different after all. Jesus makes it clear that he will not change his destination. He is clear about his mission and won't avoid it despite the terrible risk it entails. And Jesus laments for the city he loves. When we hear Jesus say these words in Luke's gospel, we know that Luke is grieving that when we hear Jesus say these words in Luke's gospel, we know that Luke is also grieving the city that was destroyed many years after Jesus, when Rome crushed the first Jewish revolt. So Jesus' lament foreshadows the lament that comes later. And this is where we get one of the surprising and iconic sayings of Jesus. As Jesus laments over the precious city of Jerusalem, he names a very different sort of savior, a mother hen who loves her chicks so fiercely that she offers shelter beneath her wings. And when the fox prowls, as he always does, the chicks are not left to flee or fight for themselves. The hen gathers them and protects them and fights on their behalf, putting her life on the line to save them. It's a lovely coincidence that we hear Jesus claim this female image for himself on International Women's Day. As a mother hen fiercely protects her chicks, so does Jesus want to protect Jerusalem from its corruption and imperial captivity. There are people lamenting their beloved cities in our time today as well, including Jerusalem, which is captive to a modern-day King Herod, but also Beirut and Tehran and many other cities that are in grave danger. And we have reason to lament over even our own beautiful city of Richmond and Greater Vancouver, where some folks are struggling even more to pay the rent and afford food, where the overdose crisis claims hundreds of lives every year, and the epidemic of loneliness affects hundreds of thousands. What guidebook do we follow on the way? What maps do we trust? And how do we find our way around the distracting expectations of others that are more about them than they are about us and what God has created us to be? We share our stories with each other. We share our journey together. And as we do, we come to greater compassion, understanding, and love for each other. We share the journey with Jesus, who longs to protect us like a mother hen. We stay true to our purposes, our mission, and to who we are, just as Jesus did. And we walk the road before us, and we are not alone. Thanks be to God.